Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo at Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at www.hbcaz.org. So get ready, find your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, you reign. You reign in our lives. You reign in our hearts. And Lord, we desire, Father, for that day when you will reign over all eternity with no questions. There will be no atheists, Lord. There will be no unbeliever. There will just simply be us and you and worship and praise and honor and glory that is due your name. Until that day, Lord, help us to live for you. Help us, Lord, to have that vision for eternity. And so, Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And, Lord, we're excited about what tomorrow holds because, Lord, you are sovereign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. How are y'all doing? Great. Hey, guess what? Happy birthday. You're 11. It's like, I don't feel 11. All right. Well, listen, today is our 11th year of being a church. And so we call this our birthday. We call it our Vision Sunday, where we are going to impart to you the vision for church, for us, for HBC. And if you want to do this, you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be all over the place, but if you keep your finger there, you'll be happy, because I'm going to hit that a few times. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one into your hands. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, there was a story. There's this lady, her name was Gladys, and she visited a church for the first time. She was new in town, and she thought she'd give this church a try. Unfortunately, the sermon was very dry, and it seemed to go on forever and ever. Many of the congregation, as she looked around, noticed that many of them were falling asleep. But Gladys was an outgoing woman, and so she wanted to meet new people. So after the service, Gladys walked around, and she walked up to a very sleepy-looking gentleman, extended her hand in greeting, and said, "Hello, I'm happy to meet you. I'm Gladys Dunn." And he said, "Not only you, ma'am, I'm glad it's done too." I had to do it. I had to. Listen, I pray to God that here at HBC, that a church alive is worth the drive, that we would never be stale. How can you be stale when you come into the presence of a living God and you go into his word, and his word is alive, it's fresh every single time we open it up? And listen, we've been digging in deep for the last 11 years, and until Jesus Christ returns, we will continue to dig in very, very deep. Now, after this service, though, I want to encourage you. I don't know if you came through the fellowship hall or you came through these doors here, but over in the fellowship hall, we have a bunch of tables set up. There are snacks on all the tables, and there's information. What an opportunity for you to meet your brothers and sisters here in the Lord, your brothers and sisters who are awake are ready to serve you. Now, and we'll talk a little bit about different ministries and the different opportunities there are here. But one of the Bible verses, you know, I came here from Houston, Texas. I got saved in Houston. I got ordained in Houston, or discipled and ordained, and then sent here. One of the verses that God gave me, he gave me three verses, but one of them was Isaiah 43:19. "Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert." And it kind of confirmed, because I was praying about five different places to go to. Brady, Texas, New Hope, Minnesota, Globe, Arizona, Lake Havasu, and here. And guess where I ended up? Wow, you guys are awesome. Crystal ball and everything. No. Now listen, as a pastor, I just want you to know this. I'm interested more in the future than I am in the past. I'm more interested in where we will spend the rest of our lives than where we came from. Yes, where we came from is a good testimony. But listen, my hat's off to the past and my sleeves are rolled up for the future. You know, that's what it's about. So what I want to do today is we're going to kind of give an overview of where God has brought us and where we are and a little peek into where we're going in the future. So real quick, I want to show you our beginnings and what God has done. So watch the screen. It's a short video.
I'm Pastor Gilbert.
And I'm Vanessa.
Welcome to Harvest Bible Church.
HBC was founded in 2010 in a little building off plantation that started off with just 12 members.
Very first bulletin.
~10,000 square feet that HBC will be adding.
That's a children's church.
We got a lot of build out to do. There'll be children's classes over there with a children's foyer. There'll be some bathrooms there. This will be a new sanctuary area, possibly seating about 450. Providing, and once again, I just pinch myself. What a blessing. I can't believe that I'm to be a pastor of this awesome church. It's not the building, it's the people. They really love your word.
Well, hello, everyone. I just felt like I needed to give you all an update as to where we are. I know I asked a lot of you to pray for that building right there. We were going to lease the 5,000 square feet to make it our Fruits of Harvest, reopen it. But you know, God has his own plan, and we have to be able to be flexible to what God wants to do. And so we're not going to lease this. Instead, we are going to buy the whole building, which is amazing. I'm beside myself. I'm so blessed and so excited. The church is excited. Did you know that exactly 3 years ago, we began the process of purchasing the D building, and now we are buying, 3 years later, we are buying another 16,000 square feet of commercial property here for the purpose of glorifying God. And can it ever get any better than that? And so I want to thank everyone for praying. I want to ask you to continue to pray with us, because though we are moving forward, it's still, there's a lot that we have to do in the coming months and years.
It was windy. So in that wild, listen, we had bought this building, and what was interesting is that Sunday, I reviewed a message that I had done before, and I picked it at random, And on the top, it said that we were buying this building, and it was exactly to the Sunday, 3 years later, we bought that building. And I was like, God, you're amazing. So listen, Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. And with that, we understand, though, that the building is not the church. We are the church. The building just gives us an opportunity to meet together, to grow together, to serve together. But listen, Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so it is important, it behooves me as a pastor to give y'all the vision for our church. The definition of vision is this: vision, the capacity to create a compelling picture of the desired state of affairs that inspires people to respond. That which is desirable, that which could be, should be, that which is attainable. And here's the thing, God has given us a very attainable vision. I got to tell you, when I first came into town, wasn't sure if this is where God wanted me. The first building I saw was this. It was empty. I think there was a furniture store here. At least it said that, like some kind of Allen something or other furniture store. And I pulled in. I drove around. I said, great place for a church. Ta-da. I guess God gave me a vision. Listen, a godly vision, hear me in this, a godly vision is right for the time, it's right for the church, it's right for the people. Godly vision motivates people to action. Godly vision promotes faith over fear. Godly vision, here you go, requires risk-taking. Godly vision glorifies God, not people. And we never want to glorify people. We don't want to glorify a building. We don't want to glorify anything other than Jesus Christ. Anything God wants to do through us, well, that's a blessing. Now, do you realize that it's possible to have a vision that is not from God, even though you can claim it's from God? Do you know that? Well, in case you don't know that, I'm going to show you. Watch this video.
Sometimes people tell us that this concept is new, that it's different, a church and a brewery under the same roof. But we don't think it's a very new concept at all. We think it's about the oldest one there is. See, because long before there were cathedrals and city centers, long before there were religious people and non-religious people, there was just people. And God loves people. And God's happy when people are happy together. Simple. At Castle Church, we care. Everybody here cares. We use the best ingredients, we do a lot of really hard work, and we make really good beer. We care about making the best beer for our neighbors because we love our neighbors and good beer. It's not a new idea, it's the oldest idea there is. At Castle Church, it's enough to just be people. Come have a beer. Make a friend. Add to the conversation. Come and see.
It's the oldest idea. Yeah, sin is the oldest idea. Listen, you know, having a beer is not a sin. Getting drunk is a sin. But having a church with the beer as the focus, I'm sorry, I have a little. Listen, I want you to trust me when I say that our vision has no hops and barley in it. Our vision is worship, win, disciple, send. Worship the Lord, win the lost, disciple the saved, and send the equipped. We want to worship the Lord. We desire to worship from our heart, according to the word, John 4:24, in spirit and in truth. Worship prepares our heart. It softens our heart so that we can walk faithfully and so that you can receive the implanted word. And so you can have a positive effect on the kingdom and for the kingdom. We want to win the lost. Once we have worshiped, now our heart is prepared. Now we're ready for battle, and we can go out and win the lost. To win the lost and save them, bring them into saving faith, to a new life of hope in Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, there is no hope. And we're going to do this through proclaiming the Word of God and by being living examples. So important. Then once we do that, we've worshiped. And now we've won the lost. Now we want to disciple the saved. You remember Jesus said, go and make disciples, not believers. Disciple, those who are going to be trained up. Desire to lead others. And how are we going to disciple? You know how we do it? By our example. That you and I would be examples of Christ. And we're going to talk about that quite a bit today. Listen, and by doing that, we equip the saved for the work of the ministry. And you'll see what I mean. So then once we disciple the saved, then eventually we send the equipped. See, my goal is that, yes, that people would get saved, that our church would grow, but that at one day, we would send someone out to go start another Harvest Bible Church somewhere, to see this happen all over again somewhere else. Listen, I told you to put your finger in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start with verse 12. This is where we get our vision from, and we're going to be in Ephesians 4 quite a bit today. For the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? You are. I say this all the time. You're either a saint or an ain't. Prayerfully, you're not an ain't. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So who are we to be edifying? The body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? We are. So the saints, us, we're to be edifying the body of Christ. We're to build each other up. Verse 13. Till we all come to unity in faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect or mature man. I'm going to read a different version later on. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of faithfulness and to grow in faith. You see, that's the goal. My goal is to create saints. Then my goal is for the saints to go out and create other saints. And that we as saints would edify the body of Christ together. That's not my idea. That's God's idea. We are just today and every day, we get to choose whether we're going to be obedient to that or, here you go, watch this, or make excuses why we don't. Because we can. How do I know that? Because I'm good at excuses too. But Jesus said, all authority is given to me. There's no higher authority. But so often, we don't want to. So here's what we need. Here's what you and I need. In order to get to be done with the excuses, because that's what they are, excuses. It's just that we don't want to give our time, and it's not your time, it's his time, but good try. We don't want to give. Okay, so what do we need to do? In order for me to quit holding on to my time and holding on to excuses, you know what I need to do? I need to grow in my faith into the stature of Christ. Well, here's what we know. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Exactly. So with that is why we have Lamppost Bookstore, so that you can go back there and you can grow in your faith. You can get Bibles back there. You can get all kinds of books that will help you with the different things you may be struggling with or that I may be struggling with. Some great stuff. Not only that, you can get shirts like this where you're walking through the store and instead of getting mad at the cashier for taking too long, you have to go, people are watching me. You know, that happened to me once. The cashier was just, really annoying, not very nice person. And I held my tongue. And I got up there and I was very nice to the person. And the two people behind me said, hey, Pastor Randy, we were waiting to see what your response was going to be. I was like, oh, you're so mean. Because I didn't recognize him. You know, we got masks on, and sometimes there's people, but they were like, we were just going to see how you were going to respond. I'm like, oh, that is great. But listen, that's true of all of us, right? We have to. So listen, not only that, by the way, today, because we're having Vision Sunday, I went back there. They got a lot of goodies, snacks and stuff. You can go back there. And they're having a contest. You can design the 15th anniversary T-shirt. And you go back there, take a piece of paper, draw something up. If we like it, I'll actually turn it into a T-shirt. Maybe even the 12th year anniversary. So if it's really good, I'll make it next year. So anyways, they're doing that. Go in there. Take a look at what they have. And by the way, people say it all the time. You guys, we have the cheapest Bibles because we're not making any money. We don't want to make money. We can't make any money. We're nonprofit. So we give it to, we just want to get the Word of God in your hand. That's it. And some of the things we sell at a loss so that we stay at a loss. It's better for the church that we stay at a loss. So go back there, get your stuff. But hearing your faith will grow by the Word of God. Your faith will grow. That's my goal. That should be all our goal. But besides that, of course, the other thing we do besides having Lamppost Bookstore is we teach the Word. Not just here on Sunday, but hey, did you know we have a Wednesday night service? Ooh, yeah. We have worship. We have children's church, youth. And I study just as hard for that as I do for this. Sometimes we have deacons come up and teach. It's been awesome when they do share. And yeah, woohoo! We got one coming up pretty soon. I'm not going to tell you when because I want you to come. And well, you know, isn't that sad? People go, oh, Pastor Randy's not teaching. Oh, I'm going to stay home. It's the Word of God. It's fellowship. Come. In fact, I say more of you should come when a deacon teaches. Give him encouragement. But I'm still not going to tell you when. So we got Sunday, we got Wednesday. Your children are taught on their level. You know, some people go, well, Pastor Randy, why don't you have the children in with their parents? Here's why. Because one, the children are going to be bored by me. They're not going to get any Jesus that they can comprehend. Once in a while, there's a child that's a rare gem. But most of the time, they're going to be playing with water bottles and the crackling water bottles. They're going to want to go and run to the bathroom and up and out. And besides distracting you, it can also distract others. So here's what we've done. We've created an atmosphere for children to be taught on their level so they can come to understand Christ in a very fun, exciting way over in Children's Church. So we've got that. We've got youth. You know, last Sunday, second service, there were over 30 youth in our youth room. They were packed. That room's too small. So we're trying to build out across the way. So please be praying that God would provide a way for us to build that out across the way, because then we could have 100 kids over there and it'd be just fine. But right now, we're busting at the seams, which is a great problem to have. Then, of course, so they're taught on their level. Then we have, if Sunday and Wednesday's not enough, good. I'm glad, because we got Monday night, men and women's. We got Tuesday morning, women's. It's a repeat of Monday night. We got Access for young adults that meet on Friday. And then we have a new ministry that's taking off. It's called Pioneer Ministry, and Club T2, which was 55 and older. Now it's all ages, and they're meeting at a house, and eventually it's going to spread into other houses. We're hoping that maybe one day we'll have four or five different houses where they're having Bible study, sharing meal, worship, the whole nine yards. So we have opportunities for you to grow in the Word. If you want to grow, we're going to help you. If you don't want to grow, I can't help you. See how easy that is? It's amazing. But the thing that we realize here at HBC, as I said before, the church isn't the building. You are the church. We're to be all putting forth an effort to build the church, to build the body, to go out and make disciples. And then when they're here, train them up by the example that we live. And though we understand, and we'll talk about this some more, that we are the church, we also understand that God has made us stewards of the building that we have here. We should take care of it. And that's where our cleaning ministry, maintenance ministry, landscaping ministry, they're behind the scenes. And I'll tell you, they serve diligently. You come in, cleaning ministry, they're rocking out to some good Christian music. They're all like mopping the floor. They're almost dancing with the things. The maintenance team, you know, it's been amazing. We give them something to fix, and it's done. It's like, it's done already? Oh, yeah. They didn't waste any time. I'm like, do they sleep here? Do they ever go home? Our landscaping, what you see, if you notice in the video how many trees, and now there are no trees, or there are very few trees. We've cut them back. It's our landscaping ministry did that, and it's awesome. Listen, here's what we know. Do me a favor. Keep a marker on Ephesians, but turn over to 1 Kings. This is such a cool story. I love this story. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 through 7. This is about Solomon, David's son, the one who built the first temple for God and for God's people. The Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon because she heard about his fame. Here's what it says. 1 Kings chapter 10. Verse 1 through 7. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw, so first she asked him all the hard questions. She drilled him, and there was nothing too hard for him. But we get the impression from this word, she wasn't that impressed. But watch. But when the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom, she saw the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attendants in their war robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offering he made at the temple of the Lord. So basically, when she saw how everything was in order, clean, pristine, purposeful, she was overwhelmed. Look, she said to the king, verse 6, the report I heard in my own country about your achievement and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw. Not I heard you answer my question. Saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In the wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. Wow. You see, that's what I want. People can come and prayerfully, God willing, he'll give me the answer to their questions. But you know, when they come in, when people come in and they see the ushers are loving and kind and the greeters are kind and everything's clean and everything's orderly, people go, oh, there's something going on here. Then when I give them the answers, they're open to receive the answer. And that's why it is important for the church to look great, to be the best we can make it. It may not be as good as other churches. We're not comparing. We're just going to do the best we can. And here's the thing. In any of these things, you can be a part. You can edify the body. You can grow in your own walk. Believe it or not, people often form their opinion about the message far before they even hear the message. By what they get from each other. Is there love? Was I loved on? Did anyone love me? I didn't feel loved. No one greeted me. There was no bulletin. Well, there was no bulletin today because we're doing Vision Sunday. But normally there is a bulletin. But you get the idea. You know, imagine some family goes to drop their child off in the nursery, and some guy who hasn't shaved in a dirty shirt with pizza stains on it, yeah, give me your baby. It's like, I ain't going to give you my baby. I'm going to do it. You wouldn't be able to sit here and focus on the word. But when someone's there cordial and everything's nice and orderly, you can come here and you can focus on the message. So important. So important. Now, here's the other thing. You've got to realize, did you notice that 2020 was difficult? Did you notice that? Any of you? Was it just me? It was just me? Okay. Well, listen, no doubt 2020 was difficult. 2021. Okay, yes. Well, listen, I got to tell you this. We have amazing equipment. It was given to us before the pandemic hit so that we could stream. We didn't even know we were going to need to stream, but God provided. And here's the thing. We have a streaming ministry. They serve. And listen, when the pandemic first hit, we were having 3,000-4,000 people a week watching the sermons. It was awesome. Right now, it's not that high. Right now, we get about 400, 500, but that's still a lot to me. I mean, who am I? You know, I'm amazed at that. So we've got the live stream. We got our audio resource that, you know, we put it up on Spotify and whatever the other thing is. You know, those things where you can listen. I forget the Apple version of Spotify. iTunes, yeah, podcasts, it's out there. So listen, that's invaluable. Hey, the fact that the screens can show you videos and you can worship, that's it. And of course, our amazing worship team, right? These are all important. These are all part. Imagine if nobody was willing to say, I'll serve the Lord. Where would we would have none of that. But God always provides. And I want you to understand, when it comes to our worship team, as amazing as they are, it's not here for entertainment. Although they are entertaining. I mean, if you're not saved and you come in, you go, wow, this is a good worship team. But it's not here for that. It's so that you and I can worship. And maybe you don't stay here. You go to another church and you go, wow, that worship team's not that good. It's not there for you to get something out of. It's for you to give worship to God. No matter what church you go to. Maybe our church isn't as good. Our worship team isn't good as the worship team you came from. Listen, you shouldn't be coming here going, well, I didn't get anything out of worship. Let me ask you this. Did you get anything out of the offering box? No, because it's your offering. You give God your worship. So please keep your hand out of the offering box. But if you need some, go ahead, take some for yourself. It's between you and the Lord. But it's not here for entertainment. But it is here as opportunity that you can get involved. Then I hope when you came in that you were greeted, that people said good morning, that people, we're a very huggy church. Okay, I'm sorry, pandemic people, but we are. Now, if you're wearing a mask and you want to keep your distance, you know, we'll you know, pati, you know, air hug. We'll do that. Listen, we understand that for some people it's a health risk. We've got someone from our church that is in the hospital, not feeling well, not doing well. I think he's on his way out, and his wife is on her way out of the hospital, not... Wow. If he's watching, it's like, what happened? What do you know something, Pastor? No. No. He's getting better. He's gonna be fine. But we have ushers, we have greeters that give tours to people who are new. You know what? You've seen some of the violence going on. We have a security team. Yeah, so that you can be safe. And we have first aid team. Medically trained people in case something happens, you know, something would happen to someone. Thankfully, that's only happened a couple of times where someone needed some, you know, a Band-Aid or got a boo-boo or something like that. But we have that. We have that. And by the way, ladies, you're welcome to join as an usher or security. There, some of you ladies are tougher than the security guys. Have you seen our... No, I'm just seeing By the way, there's one thing you will never see an usher do in this church. Pass a plate. We will never pass a plate. Why? Is it a sin? Is it unbiblical? No, it's not unbiblical. If you go to a church, it's not unbiblical. But here at HBC, God put it on my heart, based on what I learned from my pastor, to just trust the Lord. And when there's a need, we don't do fundraisers, we don't pass a plate, we don't ask you to pledge, we pray. And look at what he's done in just 11 years. just through prayer. Just through prayer. Praise the Lord. Listen, 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, God loves a cheerful giver. In the Greek, the word is hilarios, where we get hilarious. God wants you to go, give your money. What are you doing? I'm being hilarious. No, you're not. Stop. You're freaking me out. Okay. But God wants you to give joyfully. Listen, if you're going, oh, I got to give, keep it. Don't give. Give your blessing. Your blessing will be when you give willfully. It's like forcing someone to lift their hands in worship. It's not real unless it comes from your heart. Same thing with giving. It's not real until you put in that, those boxes. And so people go, well, if you don't pass a plate, Pastor, how you provide for the church? We have two little boxes. And by the way, they're not nailed down. I don't think they are. They used to not be. And people go, well, someone could just run off. Well, if they run off, God bless them. That's between them and the Lord, pobrecito. I hate to be that guy or girl or whoever. So, listen, we believe in prayer. And listen, so we've got our front line. We got our ushers. They'll never pass a plate. But in prayer, we got a VIP team, very important prayers. Those are the ones who receive people who come forward to hug on them, love on. And by the way, we don't bombard you with phone calls and bug you like that. We're not that kind of church. And normally, under any normal circumstances, at the end of service, we got a couple of deacons up here to pray with you because we believe in the power of prayer. We have prayer on Friday. We have prayer on Sunday at 8 o'clock before first service. Over there, you can pray. And that empowers me to teach decently. And I had stopped Saturday normal prayer because I went back to what we did when we built this church, when we started. Before we even got into the door, you know what I used to do? I used to come down here sometimes with five or six people, sometimes by myself. And I felt like God was saying, this is where you're going to be. But we didn't have the keys. We didn't have a lease. So I'd put seven rocks on the sidewalk, and I'd walk around the whole complex and pray, God, Lord, just like Jericho, Lord, bring those walls down. Get us inside, Lord, so we can start having victory in you. And guess what? He did. And so we do that. Now, on Saturday morning at 9, I put seven rocks on the ground. And it's funny, one of the deacons saw the rocks, he kicked them off. The reason why I do the rocks is because when you're praying, is I get around and go, well, is that four or five times around? Well, I don't know. I'll go four in that way. So now I put the rocks and I kick one out of the way. And I try and do it some obscure place, but a deacon always finds it. And I love that. That's my deacons, man. They're our deacons. They're on the ball. But speaking of walking around, so these are opportunities you can get involved in the prayer work of the Lord. Speaking of walking around, we have a ministry that literally walks around this town, going door to door, knocking on people's doors and saying, let me in. No, they don't say that. They say, come out and play. No, they say, come out and pray. That's what they say, not play. They go door to door, and it's just amazing. One, it sharpens your ability to answer questions. It keeps you in prayer, and you get to meet people in the neighborhood. God says, love thy neighbor. Well, how can you love your neighbor if you don't know who your neighbor is? So it's an awesome ministry. And we started a new prayer ministry. I think I talked about it last week. It's called Stop and Pray. They have these Stop and Pray signs on the highway. We're praying that one day maybe there'll be six or seven of these. We've already seen fruit, people coming from the Stop and Pray and coming to church. That's awesome. Hey, you know what else? It blew my mind. Someone goes, hey, do you have something? Just last week, two people. Do you have something where, you know, to help people in need, like, you know, food and clothing? I'm like, do we ever? And then I realized, yeah, we don't announce it because, yeah, anyways, you'll figure out why, overseer. But we have right here across the way, Monday and Friday from 10 to 1, we have Fruits of Harvest. And what they do is they give out food and clothing, and all the clothing is quality stuff, with good food in the boxes. But more importantly, they pray and share the gospel with people that come in. There's an opportunity. And see, 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's you and I. And one of our vision statements here is, if each one would just reach one. Listen, we're normally, before the pandemic, we were about 500 or 600 people. Now we're probably like 400. But if each one of us reached one, we'd be 800 people. Now, I'm not about the people. I'm about the salvation and about the growing in the Lord. So our goal is to each one reach one with the gospel. And someone's bound to say this, but Pastor Randy, what is the gospel? And someone will say, what's the good news? Okay, what's that? What good news? God, you guys ask great questions. Okay, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, if you want, or jot it down. Here's the gospel in a nutshell by Paul. Paul gives it to us. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Now, I would remind you, brethren, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. Here's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture. Listen, that's the only way that someone can be saved. And once you are saved, you realize that's some good news right there. And that's what we want for HBC. We want HBC to be a life-saving station. We don't just want to be activity. We want to be activity with fruit. We want to be a tree with leaves and fruit, activity and fruit. Which, by the way, we have, guess what's coming up? What holiday? Easter. Now, on Easter, we do what we call Epic Easter. Epic Easter, we do it at the park, both services, one service at the park under the pavilion. The last two times we did Epic, we had 600 to 700 people there. We had a bunch of people get saved, and we had baptisms, and each time we had 50 people get baptized. Yeah. Now, we're going to have invites here on the chairs that you can take them out and invite one person to this. We're going to have radio spots. We're going to do all that. We want people to come. Even if they're saved, come. Let's have some fellowship together. Some churches aren't open, or they're barely open. We're going to be outdoors. How cool is that? And it, by the way, it's super exciting. But listen, if you are saved, or if you get saved between now and then, you know what? When we have the baptism, you can get baptized. In fact, there's a baptism sign-up sheet right out in the fellowship hall for Epic Easter to be baptized. Put your name down. Give us your T-shirt size. We give you a T-shirt to wear, baptism T-shirt, HBC. It's awesome. But watch the video of one of our Epic Easter baptisms. Check it out. So I'm looking forward to baptizing some of you. Put your name down. If you even have a question about baptism, come see me. Or put your name, I'll call you. I'll say, hey, what's up? You want to get wet? No, I won't do that, I promise. I'm just feeling weird today. Can you tell? I feel very weird today. Yeah. Okay, so we have Epic Easter coming up, but guess, we have something else we're planning. Some of you were there, some of you weren't. Drive-in church, how many of you were there? Okay, watch the screens. Yeah, that was, yeah, it was a power. So we want to do that again, but trust me, it's going to be a lot more cars, so we'll have to put it in a little closer. But listen, when people drive by and they say, ooh, what's going on? A lot of people did. And they go, oh, it's a church. It's a church. It lets people know that there's a love, there's a unity, there's something that's missing in their life. And so we want to be reaching out. But listen, we also reach out beyond our own community. As a church, we have ministries we support. We support Set Free down in Needles. We support them prayerfully and financially. Angel Manor, which is a men and women's shelter. They have several homes up in Kingman, and we support them. Yes, awesome. And then Savannah Crabtree, she's in Africa. And her and her family, we support them. It's awesome. And then Israel, Pastor Dove in Israel, he's a Jewish guy, was here in America. God said, go back to Israel and witness to the Israelites. So we support him. So listen, we're supporting beyond these four walls. When you give, we give to them as well. And it's awesome. So people ask, they go, Pastor Randy? I go, yes. They go, how do I become a member? Remember I told you, keep your finger in Ephesians 4? Turn there. Starting in verse 11, so Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastor, teachers, to equip his people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith to the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in deceitful schemes. Instead, speak the truth in love, we may grow to become in every respect mature bodies of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, listen to this, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How do you join HBC? Well, you don't join, you first get born again and then you're a part of the body of Christ. But then if you want to be an active member, of the body of Christ here at HBC, just start serving. Start doing your part to help the body grow here. Serving is the best way to get connected. Serving is the best way to grow. How do I know this? Pastor Randy, does God really care that much? God, you ask great questions. Malachi, this is a heavy verse, folks. I'm going to give you the truth in love. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Did you catch that? Watch this, it gets better. Then once more, you shall see the distinction. There's a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Those are not my words. Those are God's words. Serving the Lord, being a part of the body of Christ. Listen, as a pastor, I want to see that, but not because you help me, but because you grow and you're obedient to him. And that's what's important. Listen, this is a secret, but it's not really a secret. The goal of every pastor is to see the church mature. I don't want to be up here teaching and then see everybody running around in diapers and still drinking milk from a baba. I want to see you begin to eat meat and bread and honey, the living word. It's important. Listen, and being a pastor is not something that I chose. It's a calling. And with the calling, there are required specific duties. There are. What are those duties, Pastor Randy? Right here in Ephesians 4. He made some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Worship, win, disciple, send. That's the goal. That's everyone who is saved. That's my goal, is to help you be that part. My calling as a pastor is to teach you for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. By the way, that means to serve in the church. Listen, if you and I can't meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in the church, how in the world are we going to truly meet the needs of those who are outside the body? Huh. Unfortunately, sometimes my teaching bears correction. Correct for you. Correction for me. Correction for us. How do I know this? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, that means mature, thoroughly equipped, listen, for what? Every good work. Oh, wow. To be Christ-like. To be like Jesus, who said, I did not come to be served. I do that every time. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. It's so important. And some people say, well, Pastor Randy, I can't do much. Here's a great quote. Listen to this quote. Don't despise the little things. A little lantern can do what the bright sun could never do. Shine at night. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's cool. If you don't think it's cool, we need to talk. Listen, no one can help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Everyone can disciple someone. So here at HBC, we got a lot of things planned. Here's a great thing. I miss this. Two things. Men and women's retreats. Guess what? We're planning them. In fact, men's retreat's going to be first. Now, I need to let you in on a little secret. A couple of years ago, the ladies went on retreat, and they do these line dancing things, right? And they videotaped themselves doing a line dance. And then they, in the video, said, we challenge you men. Well, we took the challenge. Watch. Come on. About to do it like this, about to do it like this, y'all. Yeah.
deep. When I sit back and imagine life without you, I can't fathom how I ever thought I'd make it on my own. And it's at least a million reasons I'm still standing here believing. Come on, come for you're my healing. This I know. I can't see the wind when it moves and leaves. From the bottom to the top of the tallest trees. You are everything that I'll ever need. And I can't take that from me. That's how I know.
So, ladies, challenge on. Which, men, that means we don't have to do one this year, but we'll probably do one anyway. And then we have one more thing before we start to wrap up. You got to watch this. We are returning to doing VBS this year. Watch the screen. So we've got a lot coming up this year. Please continue to pray that God would speak to you how he wants you to be involved. Because listen, we can't do this without each other. But when we all work together, we're going to see a mighty move of God's hand in this valley. And we should want that because we are living in the last days. And it's exciting because Christ could come anytime. But we want to see people get saved. So we need to be busy about doing God's work. And listen, God tends to use those who are nearest to him. So I want to encourage you. God, you know, he called us to get in the game, not just keep score. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time that we've had to look at what you've done in the body of Christ here at HBC. Lord, to look at what you want to do in the future. Father God, to look at the fact that we have a calling. There is a purpose. There is a plan. And so, God, we want to yield ourselves to you. We want to be available. And, Father, I just pray that each person, Lord, would hear your voice today and they would respond. Lord, I'm excited about Epic and baptisms and retreats and vision and, VBS and drive-in and all that stuff. We got more stuff planned, but Lord, that's just what we're going to cover today. Lord, we love you. We praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, sing one last song, and don't forget to stop by the bookstore and in the fellowship hall. They got some goodies for you.